Hello guys, welcome to episode 16 of What an Absolute Fit Show. I am contending with this right now. If you're watching it on video, I've got a dog in front of me and I've got a car alarm going off outside. So we'll try and get the technical difficulties out of the way as soon as we can. But basically today is all about questions and answers from a fitness point of view. If you're not watching this and you just listen to it on audio, I have got my dog Jeff sitting on me, so that's him breathing and not me. Anyway, without further ado, I'll see you on the other side. Okay guys, so we've got some questions that we've been handed in over the last couple of days over social media from you guys, and I'm just gonna go through them as they come. First question, which I'm gonna ask myself actually, is why am I sitting down on the floor with a dog on me? Well, the answer to that is my wife's upstairs in the office working, so I've been relegated down to the living room. And there's nothing really going on the sofa. It's all a bit boring, whereas I can actually sit down here and sort out and look after my dog. And there's a nice little plan for those of you that are watching. So there you go. So question number one that we're after here is, let me just get up these questions. There we go. Right, okay. So how to stay motivated while working shifts. So I'm guessing this is people, nurses, police officers, people that work in different services where they may have to work nights or they work separate split shifts maybe and things like that. And the answer to that is basically you need to plan, right? You really need to plan ahead with both fitness wise, what you're going to be doing in the gym, activity wise, and also nutrition. You've got to be planning what you're going to eat. That's the only real way that you can stay motivated. Does it have an effect on you working different shifts? Yes. Is it better to be able to get up every day at the same time and go to bed every day at the same time and go to the gym at the same time and eat at the same time? Yeah, of course it is. But unless you're thinking about leaving your job and leaving your career to do something else, which a lot of people probably aren't going to do, and they're not in the right situation to be able to do, you've got to deal with what you've got. So my plan of action would be, if I was going to be working with you, we'd come up with a plan at least 2 weeks in advance. As far as your rota at work goes, we will probably plan around that. So what fitness classes can you get to? When can you get into the gym? When are you going to eat and what are you going to eat? It might seem like a bit of a ball ache, but it's worth doing so that when you come to it in the end and you come to actually go into the gym or having some time to do it, you've got a plan around that. Okay, awesome. Next one. I hate the gym. It scares me. What can I do? Okay. So you don't always have to go into the gym. If it's based around going and starting a fitness journey or losing weight or putting on muscle, the gym isn't always necessary at the start or at all. Doing things like going for a jog or a run and looking at your nutrition a little bit better are the main basics for getting started. If it's a case that you don't like going to the gym because you feel intimidated or you feel that you don't fit in or you feel like you don't know what you're doing, there's a few different options that you can do. Number one, when you walk into a gym, you assume that everybody's looking at you. You assume that everybody has turned around and they're going, oh, what's this person doing? What are they wearing? What are they gonna do? I bet they don't know what they're doing. And if I'm being honest with you, literally nobody cares. Nobody cares. All they care about is what they're doing. Seriously, nobody cares. Another one that you could consider, going out to all of us PTs out there and all of us coaches, is get a coach for a little while. That is going to get rid of any fear that you have about going into a gym. That is also going to help you and push you forward in the gym. a lot of people going to the gym is the tool, right? You don't know how to use it yet. If you're just walking into the gym for the first time, you don't know how to use any of the machines. You don't know how to use any of, or any of the movements. You don't know what to do with those. Going in and getting a coach, a decent coach, even for a month or a couple of months, just to learn the basics and just to get a slight program, is going to help you massively. If I go back to when I first started going in the gym, and I've said this before on this podcast on my own, I wish now that I'd have hired a coach, because I probably wasted a year, a couple of years on just messing about, not really knowing what I was doing, not really having any real set goals either. So if you're scared of going to the gym, hire a coach or find other things around going to the gym. You might not need to go to the gym. And maybe, here's another one for you off the back, find somebody to go with you. If you've got fear of getting into the gym, then why don't you find a friend or ask somebody, ask a family member, will you come to the gym with me? You know, we're just going to walk on the treadmill. Can you come to the gym with me? I'm just going to have a little look around. Yeah, going in with other people is definitely going to help. All right, what have we got next? Oh, how to not get bored of my programming. So I'm guessing that, I'm hoping that's not one of my clients. How to not get bored of my programming. So basically, programming can be boring. If you're following a program that changes every single week completely, then you're not letting your body, you're not giving your body enough time to adapt, and whoever's writing that program is writing it for you so that you're not getting bored, okay? Programming can be boring. You need to be following and doing the same thing realistic, unless you're doing something like CrossFit or HYROX where you need to change it up and it needs to be a bit more varied. If you're looking at putting on muscle, you need to be following the same program for at least 8 weeks and then going for a deload. Because if you're just changing it up every single week and doing something completely different, you're not giving your body time to adapt. Now, that being said, if you get bored easily in the gym, you can change things up slightly with different sets and reps, adding in drop sets, adding in supersets. Maybe if you're doing some cardio at the end and you're on a treadmill or a stepper, why don't you go in and do a 10-minute Metcon that's going to be different every single day? There's little things to make it more interesting. And after 8 weeks, your program will change up anyway. So there you go. How often do you release podcasts? So how often do I release podcasts? Well, you can probably tell that it's not very often at the moment, and I do need to get better at talking on the mic, and I do want to do more podcasts because I think it's a really good tool for my business and I really enjoy doing it, but I've not been able to do it recently as much because I've just had lots of other stuff going on with various different things with the PT company and also wanting to spend more time with my family. But now I am looking to try and get at least one every 2 weeks out, released on a Thursday. I've got some really cool guests coming up actually over the next couple of weeks. So I'm really excited to get back into it. So there will be more, although it's taken me about a year to get to episode 16. But did you know this? Actually, I heard this on another podcast, that most podcasts fail after 3 episodes. So the main number of podcasts that people put out when they start a new podcast is 3. If you get to 10, you're in the 90th percentile. If you get to 20, you're in the 90th percentile of the 10, of the people that release 10. So you are really, 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 if you've got 20 podcasts out on your show, then you're doing really well. So that's my goal, is to get to 20 as soon as possible. Anyway. Okay, next question. I've only got enough time to train twice a week at the moment due to work and kids. I've been told that you need to be training at least 4 to 5 times a week, otherwise it's pointless. What can I do? Right, so that one, whoever's told you that only training twice a week is pointless, don't listen to that, because any sort of training is good. Okay, if you can only get to the gym at the moment twice a week, that's absolutely fantastic. Carry on going twice a week. If you do want to try and get and train a little bit more often, then again, it's planning. Like I said before, you've got to plan your workout. So I go through my diary on a Saturday or Sunday night, and I plan out my workout days, where I'm going to train and what I'm going to do. And I fit it in between clients, or I'll go to a separate gym and do that a couple of times a week, because it gets me out of the gyms that I work in, sort of thing, and I'll train there. But if you really can only train twice a week, that twice a week is better than training not at all. Okay, so don't listen to the person that said that. Are you going to get your gains faster by training more often? Yes, but also think about recovery as well. And it's not all done in the gym. You need to think about nutrition, and you need to think about what you're doing outside of the gym. So yeah. Okay, this is an interesting one. How have you found it training people in different athletic abilities? So yeah, it has been challenging, because there's certain things that as a coach, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing. So if somebody came up to me and said, Nick, I want you to prep me for a bodybuilding competition, I wouldn't do it. I've not really got much interest in doing that. And two, I wouldn't really want to get into doing that. And yeah, I don't know how to get somebody into that stage shape for a couple of hours or a couple of days, however long they're in that shape for, and to maintain that. It's not the sort of coach that I am. Now, sort of things that I have taken on, and I have grown and researched and invested in myself in learning over the last couple of years, is doing lots more working with different sports and working with different people that do different styles of training. So I've got athletes that are marathon runners, triathletes, CrossFitters, you know, strong, loads of different types of sport, loads. But every single client that I get, I go in and I do the research, and that's really important for me, to make sure that I am giving everything that I can to them. But it does take its toll. And sometimes you find that one thing that will help with one sport also has a really good carryover to another sport. Like, I'll use an example from actually this morning, a client that I had. We were talking about, she does a lot of rock climbing. And she told me, she's like, I'm really struggling with endurance. I'm really struggling with, I have to keep on stopping. I feel stronger, but it's the endurance for me that I'm really struggling with at the moment. So after I finish this podcast, I am going to go and I am going to do a little bit of research, a little bit more research into climbing, into muscle endurance, things that we can do in our sessions and things that I can give her to go away and do. And it's just things like that. It's all about research, and it keeps me growing as a coach as well. So actually, I love it. And that's why I take on lots of different disciplines. Okie dokie, next up. What should I do if I get a... I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to come back to that one, because I'm not sure entirely sure what that one is. How's my training going? How's your training going? How's my training going? Right. To be honest with you, at the moment, like, last year was really cool. I did lots of competitions and trained really, really hard. And it was, you know, I really enjoyed it. This year, I've taken my foot off the pedal when it comes to training. I am literally just coasting, because I've got other things that I'm looking into, other things that I'm working on, like working on the PT company, and I'm wanting to get home from the gym a little bit more often and maybe have a few more lie-ins. And I'm prioritizing I'm prioritizing my mental health and getting sleep and things outside of the gym, and trying to eat a little bit better rather than just going into the gym and killing myself every single day. I'm probably going in and doing maybe 4 to 5 sessions a week, but I'm trying to keep those sessions under an hour. Now, you might think that that's actually quite a lot. Oh, okay, well, he's training 4 times a week or 5 times a week for an hour. That's good. But if you take into consideration that last year I was training 6 times a week and I was in there for 2, sometimes 3 hours, and I stopped that, and you have a little bit of reflection. And those 3 hours that I was in the gym every day, what was I actually doing? Was I working hard or was I working suboptimally? So yeah, my training, I would say, is I'm not training as hard as I was last year, but I am still training at quite a high capacity. I'm just training a little bit smarter than I was. And there are things that sometimes you need a coach. You need somebody to look at your coach, at your training. Even coaches need coaches to look at what they're doing. So now I just follow somebody else's programming and I get on with it. And I'm really enjoying it a lot more than I was last year, actually. Okay, so how much does going out at the weekend affect your fitness goals? Okay, I'm assuming that what you're getting at is going out at the weekend and having and drinking and maybe eating not as well and stuff. And yeah, it does affect it. It does. But there's things that you can do to still have a social life and still go out and still do the things that you want to do without it really impacting. Okay, wait there 1 minute. So first things first, everybody still wants a social life. You don't want to be that person that's just in the gym all the time. No, I can't go out. You coming out tonight? No. Do you want to go? Should we go out for a meal at the weekend? No, I can't because of the gym, because of my nutrition plan. Unless you're literally getting on stage or unless it is paying your mortgage, then you can still go out. You can still have a drink. It's not that much of a priority that you can't go out and socialize with your friends and your family. Things to think about though are, if you're counting calories or you're counting your macros, following your macros, there's not really any need to do it over a 24-hour cycle. You can do it over a week. So if you are looking to be in a, let's say you're trying to hold maintenance calories, you could, but you know that on Saturday you're probably going to go well over your maintenance calories, you can just eat in a deficit for a couple of days that week. Yeah, just 100, if you just go into a slight deficit of 100 calories every day, then you've got an extra 500 or 600 calories saved up for that Saturday night. That's one way of doing it. Is it ideal? Probably not, but calories top up, especially when you're drinking alcohol. So I did hear this being said recently on another podcast that I was listening to, that alcohol is happiness stolen from tomorrow. And kind of that is true when you think about hangovers and things like that. But you've got to just get on with it. You've got to just get through life. And socially, alcohol goes hand in hand with going out. Things that you can do: drink water in between every alcoholic drink that you have. And again, I say this and I've said it loads on this podcast already, but plan. Yeah, make sure you plan. So from a point of view of food and calories, have a look at the menu about what you're going to have before you go, if you're going out for a meal. Focus on your drinks. Give yourself a limit on drinks. Yeah, it's going to be easier now that drinks are really expensive anyway. I always put a little bit of it. If I'm going out, I'm like, right, okay, cool. I'm limiting myself to probably 3 drinks. Yeah, 3 alcoholic drinks. But I'm going to have as much Coke Zero as I want. So I'll have a beer and then I'll have Coke Zero. Then I'll have a beer, I'll have Coke Zero or whatever. And it just helps to not get quite as drunk and also to not take in as many calories. Okay. Oh, just something to add to that as well. Maybe if you're going out on a Saturday night, don't set yourself a massive training session for Sunday morning. Maybe skip the gym. Maybe know that you're going to feel a little bit iffy. You might feel a little bit hungover on Sunday morning if you're going out for a big sesh on Saturday night. Maybe don't try and plan. Get all your gym sessions in and get everything that you've planned to do over the week done before that. Okay. Juggling life as a parent, how to maintain fitness. Yeah, I feel that a little bit myself as well. And I work in a gym, various gyms, and I work in the industry, and I still find it hard sometimes. to actually get the training sessions in. And my daughter's often she comes to the gym with me. What I think we need to think about when you're trying to juggle life as a parent and trying to follow a fitness regime or trying to follow your passions and your goals in the gym and in health is they need to go hand in hand. You know that having a kid, you're probably not going to be able to go to the gym as often as you could before you had a kid. If you've got a newborn, it's going to have a big impact on how much you can get to the gym and also how much you're going to be bothered about what you're eating, because your main priority isn't you anymore. It's your child. But again, you've just got to have a plan. Okay, if you don't worry about it either, times change. If you can't get into the gym 5 times a week like I used to be able to, now it's twice a week, it's still better than nothing. Like the other question, I've only get to the gym twice a week. It doesn't matter. Just get to the gym twice a week, then that's fine. That's pretty much it. You've just got to manage the time that you've got. And I'm not going to be one of those arseholes that's going to come out and say, like, well, if you've got time to watch Netflix, you've got time to go to the gym, because we all need time to chill out and sort of de-stress as well. But if you can find that time, and you can find, all you need is, like, let's say, okay, you want to get a workout in that's going to be 40 minutes. So you need to put aside really about an hour and a quarter time to get into the gym from your home, time to get do your workout, and time to get home from the gym. Okay, if you can set up a sort of a calendar with your spouse or your partner or whatever parents, grandparents, where it's like, I just want to get to the gym twice a week, guys. Would you be able to look after my kids for, you know, an hour here, an hour there? You know, there's things that we can do to try it, you know? And some of that I've found that actually when the kids go to school, that makes a big difference. So, okay, last question. How can I stay motivated when I'm trying to achieve things that I can't yet do? So this is actually from Sarah, my wife. She was talking, moaning about not being able to do pull-ups yet. She's just getting something out of the fridge. Yeah, them pancakes, they're not gonna help you do pull-ups. but yeah, it's you've got to set yourself little goals. Okay, so for Sarah, but doing a full pull-up from full extension all the way to the top is going to be a big goal, because she's never been able to do them, and she comes to the gym, but she just does classes really high intensity, doesn't do a lot of sort of slow resistance training or a lot of technique work. So it's setting little goals. So for example, like in Sarah's case, let's go, you're not gonna be able to do a full pull-up yet, but get on a box and jump and try and get your chest up to the bar, or try and get your chin over the bar, and then slowly bring yourself down. It's finding those little things, those little wins to keep you motivated. If we were going to do that with running, is probably a better example. I'm trying to get 5K in under 30 minutes or whatever. At the moment, I'm doing it in 40. Okay, well, let's take little steps, try and get it in under 39, then try and get it in under 38. And these goals, they don't have to have a time limit on them. Everybody talks about it being time efficient, and you've got to have time to be able to actually, you've got to have a set time. I've got to get this done by this date, or I've got to get this done in 2 weeks. Do you think in 6 months I can get my first pull-up? Do you think, like, other things jump in the way? So putting those little micro goals in really, really help. And that is it, guys, to be honest with you. I've been going for about 20 minutes. These little Q&A ones are going to be probably every other week. Every other one I'll probably do on my own now, and we'll just do it as like little Q&A ones, or if I've got something that I want to say, a little subject I want to bring up. Seriously though, talking on your own on a podcast, or just talking basically to a camera, is really, really fucking difficult. Alright, so I'm trying my best to talk to you guys as I normally would, but it is quite difficult. So I don't really like doing ones on my own. I'd rather do them with guests. And we've got some really cool guests coming on over the next couple of weeks. So I hope you enjoy it. Anyway, I'll see you guys soon. Ciao.